Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to have you here in worship this morning. A special warm welcome to Kerry Williams, who has come over from England to be with us today. He's originally from Wales, and he worked with John for many years, and they're on a scouting mission for a concert in the autumn time towards half term. So we may indeed have Kerry back with us, maybe if dates suit, for a morning service in the autumn time. So it's lovely to have you with us, and it's a real joy and a privilege to have you here. Just want to draw your attention to our Holy Week services. We have a messy church Palm Sunday service next Sunday afternoon, 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock. This is for any children who are in primary school along with their parents, so it's families come together in order to worship God together. And then there'll be tea afterwards. So do come along as we explore the Easter story together. Then on Wednesday, the 17th of April at 1 o'clock, we're having a Lenten lunch service in the Rowan Hall. This will be organised by the catering team in conjunction with the coffee stop. And there'll be an opportunity for a short time of praise and reflection, and a bowl of soup and some fellowship together. So again, a warm invitation to all to come along to that Lenten lunch service. And then on Thursday evening, the 18th of April at 7 o'clock, we're going to have an informal communion service in the Rowan Hall. This has become a little bit of a tradition now over the last number of years. It'll be informal communion on Thursday evening at 7. So again, a warm invitation to all to that service. And then for any of you who get up early in the morning, the dawn service is going to take place at 6:30 on the top of Knockmany. If you're interested in coming along to that service, then you need to be in our church car park at 5:45 a.m. And then we will leave in cars to go to Knockmany to be there in time for the sun to rise. And then we'll have our normal Easter Sunday service at 11:30 on Sunday the 21st of April. This morning, we're going to have our annual general meeting immediately after morning worship this morning. If some of you have come and aren't intending to stay to the annual general meeting, there'll be an opportunity to leave after the benediction before we start the meeting. But hopefully, members of the congregation will be able to stay on for that annual general meeting immediately after the service. And the Sunday lunch bunch will then meet for lunch after the AGM. Okay. Those are all of the announcements. Today is our final service on the mission of the church. We are called to be a people of justice and righteousness. Amos 5, verse 24 tells us, "Justice must flow like torrents of water, righteous actions like a stream that never dries up." Justice must flow like torrents of water, and righteous actions like a stream that never dries up. One of the ways in which we as a congregation seek to promote justice and righteousness across the world is with our partnership with our friends in Mbangweni in Malawi. As you know, there's going to be a team heading to Mbangweni in the summertime, and we're raising some funds for that trip. And I'd like to invite David Swan to come over to the reading desk here and just give a little bit of an explanation as to the auction and the arrangements for that. Thank you, David.
All right, everyone. This Saturday is our church auction to raise funds for the ongoing work in Mbangweni. It's a good chance for everyone to do a good spring clean in our attics and our garages to see if you have any items that you can donate. If you could please leave them in the church on Wednesday between 6 p.m. and 6 to 9 p.m. and on Thursday from 10 to 3 and 6 to 9 and the same time again on Friday. These dates or times are on the announcement sheet. Where possible, if items could be left in the church, but any that needs collecting, you can contact myself or Davy Vance or Philip Ewan, and we will get them collected from you. But if possible, to save time, if you can leave them in, we really would appreciate it. And we'd like to have items in as early in the week as possible, and that gives us a chance to get them numbered and boxed up and everything ready for Saturday morning. On Saturday morning, the viewing is at 10 a.m. and the bidding starts at 11 a.m. So we really would encourage you to come along and support this very worthwhile fundraising event for the work going on in Emban Granagh. Thank you.
Thank you very much, David. We now stand to worship God as we sing our opening hymn, hymn 227, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. We'll sing verses 1, 3, and 5. That was powerful. We're really glad you're with us this morning, Kerry. Fabulous. And John too, of course. Oh, I'd love it every week. Can you do that next week, John? Anyway, as we've come before God in wonderful praise, let's come before him now in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, your love for humankind, present in the beginning of all things, extends throughout history and touches our lives. Your love sees failings and forgives. Your love feels pain and wipes away our tears. Your love knows grief and comforts the sorrowful. Your love sees sin and still loves the sinner. Forgive us when we fail to love. Forgive us when we fail to live lives that reflect your love. Forgive us for the many times when we take for granted all that you have done for us. Transform us through your Spirit and empower us to serve you this day and all days. Amen. And our scripture reading this morning is taken from the prophet Micah, chapter 6, and will be read for us by David Marshall. Micah chapter 6, verses 6 to 8, and the reading can be found on page 901 of the Bibles in the pews. Let us listen to God's word.
Micah chapter 6, verses 6 to 8, what the Lord requires. What shall I bring to the Lord, the God of heaven, when I come to worship him? Shall I bring him the best calves to burn as offerings to him? Will the Lord be pleased if I bring him thousands of sheep or endless streams of olive oil? Shall I offer him my firstborn child to pay for my sins? No, the Lord has told us what is good. What he requires of us is this: to do what is just, to show constant love, and to live in humble fellowship with our God.
Thank you, David. And could I invite the children to come to the front? Good morning. Lovely to have you here this morning. Well, in the reading that David read to us, just there, it talked about what God expects of us, or what he requires of us, or how he wants us to live for him. And there are three instructions or three advices that God gives to us. And I have a little action for each one. And the first one is this. Act justly. So the thumb is up. Act justly. So that means that you're doing things that are good and right. So if you were asked to befriend someone who didn't have any friends, say that maybe invite them to your house to play with you. Is that something that's good or something that's bad? Something that's good. What about if you had done something wrong on your friend or maybe on your brother, and whenever your mom or dad heard about it, you blamed the other person? Would that be a just act or a bad act? A bad act. So God wants us to act justly, to do what is right in all the decisions that we make in life, to do what is right, not just for ourselves, but for those we love, and for all our families, for our communities, and for our world. So we are called by God to act justly, to do things that are right. But sometimes when we do things that are right all the time, people can look at us and think that we are better than them. And we all know that we are not always able to do everything right all the time, sure we're not. We often make the wrong decision. We often do the wrong thing. We often say the wrong thing or think the wrong thing. And we are so grateful that God looks upon us and he forgives us and he shows us his love and his mercy. And so he wants us to do the same. He wants us to love mercy, which means to show kindness to other people and to forgive them when they've done something against you. Okay, so remember that we are always to act justly, but that we are also to show love and forgiveness to those who maybe do things that are wrong, things that might hurt us. We are to seek to reach out to them in love and to show mercy to others. And also to be aware that there are some people in this world who don't have all the things that we have. So we can show our loving kindness to them by helping them out. And that's what our auction is all about, isn't it, on Saturday? To raise money in order to show our loving kindness to our brothers and sisters in Mbangweni in Malawi. So we're acting justly and we're using the money to show mercy to the people in Mbangweni. So acting justly, loving mercy. And then you can tell what this is. What is it? A footprint. And the third action that God requires of us is to walk humbly. Walk humbly. That's right, Lewis. Walk humbly. And it's to walk humbly with God. And that means that you are to walk in close fellowship with God. You are to acknowledge him every day, to say thank you for each new day. You're to remember that as you go about school and as you go about your businesses and as you go about your retirement, when you're living with your family, when you're out with your friends, that you're also walking alongside God, and that all that you do in your life should be things that please God and that would have his blessing. So we're called to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. And in doing that, we share his love and his mercy with the whole world. So we're going to sing our next song, which has got the whole world in his hands, and we are responsible for showing his love and mercy to the whole world. And after we sing 118, it's time for children's church. All right.
Thank you.
So we come now before God in our prayers for others. Let us pray. God of surprises, you call us from the narrowness of our traditions to new ways of being church, from the captives of our culture to creative witness for justice, from the smallness of our horizons to the bigness of your vision. Clear the way in us, your people, that we might call others to freedom and renewed faith. Jesus, wounded healer, you call us from preoccupation with our own histories and hurts to daily tasks of peacemaking, from privilege and protocol to partnership and pilgrimage, from isolation and insularity to inclusive community. Clear the way in us, your people, that we might call others to wholeness and integrity. Holy transforming Spirit, you call us from fear to faithfulness, from clutter to clarity, from a desire to control to deeper trust, from the refusal to love to a readiness to risk. Clear the way in us, your people, that we might all know the beauty and power and the danger of the gospel. Amen. We sing now our third hymn, which isn't in the hymn books. It's a hymn that I would have sung when I was in Newton Breda, and hopefully the tune will be familiar to you. The words will appear on the screen. In an age of twisted values. Thank you. A new one for us, but very powerful words That we do indeed pray that the Lord will hear our cry and heal our nation. We're now going to show a video. This video is a PCI resource, and it focuses on the need for justice in our own land and in our own situation with the difficulties and the troubles that we have gone through. As the video plays out, there will be moments where we will stop the video, and there'll be an opportunity for you to reflect on the little bit that you've heard. Then we'll move the video onwards. And this is going to be the sermon for this morning, as we intend to try to bring the service to a close early for our AGM. But hopefully it will speak powerfully to you of the need for righteous action and just acts of forgiveness and mercy in our land today.
As a Christian, I feel that my relationship with Jesus is the core thing, and I want to nurture and develop that. And that takes me out of that relationship comes responsibilities to reach out to others. And, you know, as a Presbyterian, I feel that I have a responsibility, as I believe all Presbyterians have, to have a vision that goes beyond what my life should be like, what even what my church life should be like, but a vision as to how we would want our society to be. We would want it to be characterized by justice, by love, by forgiveness, that people would feel valued, and that so many of the things that still mar our society, that they would be no longer there, and that we would see the kingdom of God visible in our society. Grace, I think grace is an amazing word. You can't analyze it, you can't define it, but you really know it when you see it. And it's just wonderful as a Christian to know that I am saved by grace, and that my relationship with God is not about what I've done, but it's all about Jesus Christ and what he's done for me. And I think that message of grace is just amazing to take out to a broken world. I've been struck recently by the comment someone made to me, you know, that every contact leaves a trace. Every contact is an opportunity to live out that graceful life.
The video will pause. Kate has just told us that every contact we have with someone leaves a trace. So a moment for you to reflect upon your life. What contacts do you have that are opportunities to leave a trace of the grace of God? What contacts do you have that are opportunities to leave a trace of the grace of God? Just a moment for reflection, and then we'll start the video again.
On November the 8th, 1987, we had what has often been called the Enniskillen bomb, or the Poppy Day bomb, which changed the life of so many people in my own church, and obviously in the wider community. We lost 6 of our church members who died that day, and another one died some years later as a result of his injuries. Many were injured. And out in the wider community, you know, the injuries, both psychological and physical, are still with people who are still suffering. I think for me personally, it was a real wake-up call. I realised that although I had good relations in many ways with folk from the Catholic community, that it was at a certain superficial level. I believe we have wonderful good news to bring to a broken world, to divided communities, a wonderful message of God's grace, his love and forgiveness. And we're enabled by the Holy Spirit to, in his power, to take that message out. We have to think about who is our neighbour in this new society. It's very different, certainly here in Enniskillen, as in many other parts of Ireland. You know, we've got new people coming from Eastern Europe and other parts of the world. We've also got people whose lifestyle and even their economic status and so on is very different from the people that are sitting in our pews, because, let's be honest, many of our churches are basically middle-class institutions. So it is a real challenge.
A real challenge to us. I think we're fairly similar to Enniskillen and the people that gather here to worship on a Sunday. So we have an opportunity now to reflect upon who is our neighbour in this new society that we're living in today. And then to think, who are the people who are not like us, to whom God wants us to show his love? So even to think back over the last week, think of the people that you have encountered who are different from yourself. Think of ways in which we can, as a congregation, as a community, as individuals, can reach out to show God's love. Again, just a moment or two for people to reflect upon that issue of us being neighbours in our own community today.
Often, as individuals and as churches, we've failed to show God's love and grace in every church. We're all individuals and we all carry our own baggage. And I think for some people, there are real problems still at reaching out, let's say, across what we call the divide here in our community. And in Enniskillen's, like everywhere else, there's still bitterness, there's still fear, there's still suspicion. I think we get comfortable also in our own sort of routines and our own activities. And we are very often puzzled and even scared and uncertain about how even to reach out to people that are different from ourselves. We can't think of where the connections are. And I suppose that's where I think our churches have to also think not just about what we as a church do, but empowering each individual member of the congregation to see that every day they are meeting people who are different from themselves. And they are making connections naturally every day. It's a case of using those connections to bring God into those relationships and to be able to build on the foundations that are already there naturally. The way Jesus wants us to live, it does run counter to, in so many ways, to the way the world does things and sees things. But it's how we do that. And I think sometimes when we feel under threat and we feel we're in a minority position and we're fighting for our lives and so on, I think there is a danger of an attitude of kind of moral superiority creeping in, or perhaps an aggressive stance, where I don't think we need that. I think we have Jesus. He's the way, the truth and the life. He's everything that people need. Show by our lives and by what we say the grace and the love of Jesus while still standing firm, full square on what we believe.
The next question for reflection. Often as congregations and as individuals, we have failed to show God's love and mercy. Where do we, or where do you, most feel our failures as Christian peace builders? We've so often failed to show God's love and mercy. Where do we, or where do you, feel our failures as Christian peace builders in our society today? Again, another opportunity to reflect and pray.
Christian discipleship really means that every day of my life I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm seeking to live the way he wants me to live. And he wants me to show love and grace and mercy to all around me. And we all know that there are so many scenarios in our lives where grace and love and peace building is absolutely essential. Perhaps it's very easy to think, you know, why does the church, PCI, sort of speak out on these sorts of issues? But I think it's also there are local issues, and I think sometimes the local church should be more courageous in speaking out. But I think it's also about individuals in the congregation who may be playing their part in trying to work in difficult situations, and us supporting them and praying for them, and to be a follower of Christ in perhaps a situation where there are lots of tensions and jealousies and so on. The witness of someone who's a disciple of Jesus could just be absolutely immense.
Kate says sometimes the Christian church should be more courageous about speaking out. What issues of peace and justice should our local congregation be speaking out about? The church should be more courageous about speaking out. What issues of peace and justice should we be speaking out about?
What is it that really we do seek as individuals and as church communities? What really are our priorities? I think this is a tremendous challenge in an era where church numbers are dropping. And I think that churches have to stop and really think, you know, what are our priorities here and where are our energies going? Is it that to try to find new leaders, draw in more people into our own sort of activities to try to keep the numbers up? Is this where our priorities are? But I think we have to turn our eyes outward, not just to because we have good news to bring and we, Jesus told us to go out there and to not just preach the gospel but make disciples. But there are so many needs out there in our community, and I do think that we have to reassess what our priorities are. We do need to be out there as peace builders, as community activists. We need to be supporting the people in our own congregations to do that work as individuals. 2017 is it'll be 30 years since the Enniskillen bomb, and thankfully, you know, the troubles as such are over. And I think, you know, during those times, there was a tremendous amount of quiet peace building that went on through individuals and through church communities, and only in heaven will we ever know the full extent of that. But I think there is a real concern that people think the job is done. You know, we have peace now, we've got a political settlement. But I think that there is an enormous amount of community peace building that still needs to be done. We've still got bitterness, we've still got sectarianism. And added to that, I think we've got a lot of racism, hate crimes. I mean, there are so many things that, and in our communities, there are all sorts of other fault lines that there are as well. So I think the task of peace building in the community sense is as great as it ever was. I feel there are lots of ways that we can be peace builders and bring that grace and love that is Jesus to people. Jesus has given us the command to go and do it, and he has something for every one of us to do. He has a role apart for each person, whatever your age, whatever your situation. You know, there is a task to be done, but it's a task that he longs to do with us and that he's giving us the power to fulfill.
Kate again tells us that we have to turn our eyes outwards. There are so many needs in our community. How would a wider vision of society become a greater part of our congregational witness here as followers of Jesus? How would a wider vision of our society become a greater part of our congregational witness as followers of Jesus? Okay, on the way out from church today, there will be a copy of the Vision for Society statement The words of it did appear on the screen, and David had told me before the service started that I might like to read the words out because they were quite small for the congregation to read, but they were that small that I couldn't read them. So they are printed actually on the back of this card, and I had forgotten that I actually had a copy in the pulpit. So I'll read the statement over to you now, but please do pick up one of the cards on the way out of church today. It says, PCI's Vision for Society statement is a timely word for today in this troubled land of Ireland. We are saved by grace to relate to others with grace. And this statement confirms our commitment to this. It is a statement of belief, confession, affirmation, and inspiration. Please read it, contemplate it, pray over it, and let the Holy Spirit use it to guide you and your congregations to live a salt and light in your community. May we as a church embrace the words of this statement to build bridges and to bring hope in our broken society. And the word and the statement is, we members of the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, saved by grace and called by God to grace-filled relationships in the power of the Holy Spirit, as ambassadors of Christ's kingdom in a broken and a divided world, believe that the good news of Jesus Christ challenges and equips us to develop radically new attitudes and relationships with our neighbours throughout the whole of Ireland. We confess our failure to live biblically as Christian peacemakers and to promote the counterculture of Jesus in a society where cultures clash. Accordingly, we affirm Christian peacebuilding to be part of the Christian discipleship of Christ's church, calling us to pursue a peaceful and a just society in our day. We seek to be a reconciled community at peace with each other, where friend and foe work together for the good news of the kingdom, and that the world can experience healing and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Your offering to God will now be received. Grant us, Lord God, a vision of your world as your love would have it, a world where the weak are protected and none go hungry or poor, a world where the riches of creation are shared and everyone can enjoy them, a world where different races and cultures live in harmony and mutual respect, a world where peace is built with justice and justice is guided by love. Give us the inspiration and courage to build it through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We bring this section of our worship to a close with our final hymn, The Kingdom of God is Justice and Joy. I will then pronounce the benediction. And anyone who's not staying for the AGM, which includes Kerry and John, are free to leave. And then we will start the AGM in a few moments. So let us stand together to sing our final hymn, 611. The Kingdom of God is Justice and Joy. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you this day and evermore. Amen. We come now to our annual general meeting. As many of you will have spotted, Audrey Hodge has been replaced, but only for today. Audrey's actually preaching elsewhere this morning, but she has drafted the Kirk Session report for the congregational meeting, and David Vance has very kindly agreed to deliver that on her behalf. So it is still the Kirk Session report drafted by Audrey, but presented to us by David. So thank you very much, David, for being willing to do that. The order of the meeting is as outlined on your church notices. I'll open in a moment with prayer. Then there will be the Kirk Session report presented by David, an opportunity for people to ask questions. And then the Congregational Secretary, Arthur Rainey, will come and present the Congregational Committee's report for the past year. Again, an opportunity for anyone to ask any questions. And then Neville will present the Treasurer's Report for the year that has passed. And again, an opportunity for anyone to answer any questions. Copies of the report will be handed out at that moment to the members of the congregation. And then we will have the adoption of the reports. It's a congregational annual general meeting, so a member from the congregation will hopefully propose them as the records of our reports for the last year, and someone will be willing to second that. Then we have one item of additional business that the church committee would like to bring to the congregation, and Arthur Rainey will present that after the adoption of the reports. And then following that, I'll finish with the benediction, and it'll be time to go home, or for those of you who are at Sunday lunch bunch, to go into the committee room for our final lunch for this particular season. Thank you. So I will bring this meeting before God in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the wonderful gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church and who has established it in his name through his death and resurrection on the cross at Calvary and his ascension into the heavenly realms. We thank you, Lord, that we are called to be your people here in this place. We're called to continue to fulfill your mission, to share your good news with the world. So we pray, O Lord, that you will be with us as a congregation of your church as we meet together to reflect back upon the year that has passed, to be thankful for all that has happened, and to look forward to all that you have planned for us together as a fellowship in the future. So we constitute this meeting in your name. Amen. So I call upon David Vance to present the Kirk Session report.
Moderator, ladies and gentlemen, members of Kirk Session was increased in April 2018 by the ordination of 8 new elders. Session has met regularly over the past year, and there was an excellent attendance at all meetings. While much of the work of Kirk Session is planned in subcommittees, all decisions are taken collectively. The Discipleship Subcommittee plans the Bible study series, which takes place in the autumn. In the autumn, groups studied the book of 2 Timothy, with one group meeting in the morning and three groups in the evening. We wish to express thanks to those who have made their homes available and to all who are acting as facilitators. This spring, the study has focused on heroes of faith and will finish this week. You will note that each week's study is published on the announcements sheet, and you may attend any group at any time which suits. While numbers are encouraging, there is always room for more. The last Sunday of each month continues to take the format of an all-age service, during which a member of Session has volunteered to conduct the prayers of intercession. We are grateful for the willing participation of everyone involved and to all those who Sunday by Sunday read from the Bible during the service. The worship subcommittee planned and conducted the all-age service in June when Jane was on sabbatical, as well as planning and setting up the prayer room in response to the moderator's call for prayer. Worship is, of course, everything we offer to God, and we are encouraged by the commitment and enthusiasm displayed by choir members as they lead our praise. We were saddened to receive the resignation of our organist, Adele Lipchinsky, in February this year, following a period of absence due to a broken wrist, and wish to convey our thanks for her enthusiasm and commitment to the choir and to leading the leading of congregational praise over the last 2 years. Thanks too to John Campbell, Kian Davison and Sheena Heron for their assistance and covering during her absence. And in the interim period, as we consider the future direction of the music ministry post. The prayer chain has been in operation for 2 years now, and there are many reasons to give thanks to God for answered prayer. Congregational prayer meetings on the last Thursday of the month provide invaluable opportunity to bring before God the needs of the congregation, and if you haven't yet been before, please do consider attending. The fellowship group continues to organise the coffee stop on Wednesday mornings. The Sunday lunch bunch is much appreciated, and thanks are extended to those who provide and serve delicious fare on the last Sunday of the month. Please remember that while Sunday school is on, you may enjoy a cuppa and some chat in the youth room every Sunday from 10:15. The fellowship group also organised the Family Fun Day in June, a successful quiz night for Air Ambulance and a recent beetle drive to help raise funds for the mission trip. The command to all of us is engaged in God's mission home and abroad. You may be aware that 5 members plan to travel to Mbangweni, Malawi, at the end of June with members of Hamilton Road Presbyterian Church. I ask that you support this mission work of the church by your prayers and by your support for the forthcoming events, the auction next Saturday and the treasure hunt in May. With a number of other churches in the area, we agreed to support financially the appointment of a Scripture Union E3 worker to work in the schools in the Omagh/Castlegg area. This will be supported from funds raised through the Outreach Fund. This appointment has now been made and Sarah Stockdale has taken up position. Sessioner agreed to extend by a further year the contract for Emma Fleming as Youth and Family Outreach Worker. We appreciate all that Emma has done so far and we commend her and the work with young people and families to your prayers. It is also important to remember that the work with the young people and families is not her task alone, and we are thankful for all who support her initiatives, but there is always opportunity for more members of the congregation to be involved. Session is currently carrying out a review of the children's ministry, which has involved much prayerful discussion and consultation with parents and children's ministry leaders. It is hoped to relaunch the children's ministry programme in September, and further information will be provided once plans have been finalised. Session would like to thank all the leaders involved in Jigsaw, Blast and Children's Church for their commitment, dedication and enthusiasm to this important ministry within our congregation. As the congregation is now registered with the Northern Ireland Charity Commission and members of Kirk Session act as trustees, the first annual report was submitted in October. I would like to record particular thanks to our treasurer, Neville Hagan, for his work in preparing this report. Most people are aware that when we granted leave to call a new minister in September 2011, it was with a 7-year reviewable tenure status. I am pleased to inform the congregation that we were informed in February that our submission initially to Presbytery and from there to the Linkage Commission has been successful and having this status removed until a vacancy occurs. Thanks are expressed to everyone whose support and encouragement have contributed to the life and witness of this congregation over the past 6 years and for Jane's leadership and direction. Without this would not have been possible. Finally, I wish to record my thanks to the members of the congregation and to the members of Session for your ongoing support, and on your behalf to record our heartfelt thanks to Jane for her ministry here and preaching the word and for caring pastoral support. Thank you.
Now you've heard the Kirk Session report. Does anyone have any questions that they would like to ask? And hopefully David will be able to answer them. Anybody, any questions? No questions? Then we'll move on then to the Congregational Committee report. Arthur, if you'd like to present that. Thank you.
Moderator, ladies and gentlemen, this is the report of the Congregational Committee. The committee met on six occasions during the year, and all meetings were well attended. The committee is directly accountable to the Kirk Session and has responsibility for maintaining and safeguarding the finances and physical property of the congregation, including the buildings and grounds of the church itself, and also the manse and the sexton's house. With reference to buildings maintenance issues, during the past year, replacement double-glazed windows have been fitted in the west wall of the kitchen, men's toilets and the youth room above, with square lattice work in the same style as the original windows, which were in a very poor state of repair. The youth room has been refurbished and fitted with new furniture to provide a pleasant, relaxing social area, and plans are currently in hand to replace the stage in the lecture hall with a much-needed secure storage area. There's been a great deal of discussion over several meetings during the past year about how best to improve disabled access to our church building in a way which will make our premises fully accessible to any members of the congregation and indeed any visitors who may have mobility issues without detracting unduly from the fine physical appearance of our church building. As an interim measure, a portable ramp has been purchased and is available for use when required over at this east doorway. But clearly it does not fully meet the needs of all potential users. The committee has now agreed a proposal for a permanent ramp, which will have to obtain a sequence of approvals at various stages, including Presbytery, PCI's Architectural Panel, and Linkage Commission, and of course planning approval. And the first step in that sequence comes today, when we seek the approval of yourselves, the congregation, to the proposal which I will outline later in the meeting. During the year, the committee recognised the need to upgrade the church's audio system to modern standards and to increase the size of the multimedia operating desk up in the gallery. The new system is potentially a huge improvement on its predecessor, which has become very troublesome and temperamental. The new system may continue to be subject to some fine-tuning over the coming months in order to achieve optimum performance. And if any members still have concerns about sound levels around where you may be sitting, please let us know and we will try to rectify the situation. Our new grounds maintenance contract has operated well during the year and the contract will continue for the coming year. Our grounds maintenance subcommittee has been busy throughout the year looking after the upkeep of the grounds around the church, the manse and the sexton's house, including tree pruning, fence painting and ivy clearance where necessary. A major job this year was to tackle the untidy flower bed outside the gate next to DAC and to sow it out in grass in readiness for future maintenance under the contract. Many have commented on how this work has improved the appearance of the approach to our church premises. The committee has taken note of the potential benefit of having ready access to a defibrillator within the church premises for use in the event of a member or visitor suffering cardiac arrest. We're grateful to Flo Harper, who has been able to acquire one for installation in the church premises and whose professional expertise will be invaluable in providing training courses to ensure that representatives of each organisation within the church are trained in its use. The equipment will be positioned on the wall in the back corridor, just out here, opposite the vestry door. A new church notice board, constructed in aluminium with a wood effect finish, has been installed in the grounds in front of the church to replace the previous notice board, which had fallen into a very poor state of repair. Its appearance is so similar to what was there before that members may not have noticed the change, but it is a very robust construction which should serve its purpose for many years to come. The recent legislation known as the General Data Protection Regulation, or GDPR, has required the committee to carry out a review of the ways in which we hold members' personal data. As a result, the committee has adopted a privacy policy based on a PCI template and has committed a personal data inventory and action plan in consultation with each of the congregation's various organisations. The privacy policy is due to be reviewed after a year in operation in June this year. One issue arising directly from the data protection legislation relates to the publication of members' financial contributions in the congregation's annual financial statement. In the interest of privacy and in line with PCI advice, it has now been agreed that names and addresses should no longer be included in the financial statement, and that in future individual contributions should be identified by membership number only. Members will be aware of the committee's concern about non-members parking cars in the church grounds, including some on a regular daily basis for the duration of the working day. The tactful approach which we've taken to date to address this issue has had some limited success in discouraging non-member parking, but it is an ongoing issue which will be kept under review during the coming months. In my report last year, I indicated that it was time to reconstitute the committee for a new 7-year term. The election duly took place in May in accordance with the requirements of the Code of the Presbyterian Church, and 20 members were elected, 8 of them being re-elected for a further term. These 20 elected members sit on the committee alongside our elders, who are members ex officio. Following the reconstitution, we took the opportunity to review the structure of our subcommittees and to draw up clearly defined terms of reference for each of them. We now have 5 subcommittees: finance and fundraising, buildings maintenance, grounds maintenance, catering, and for the first time, a subcommittee focused specifically on administration and information technology. This reflects the increasing importance of IT-based technology in the life of our church, ensuring the effective operation and upkeep of our computer-based records, our multimedia systems, and our website. Much of the Congregational Committee's detailed work is carried out through these 5 subcommittees, and I would pay tribute to the members who serve on them, and in particular to their conveners, for their energy and commitment in looking after the material needs of our church and property, and in serving the congregation in so many ways that are not always apparent to the casual observer. Moderator, that concludes the report of the Congregational Committee.
Thank you very much, Arthur. So again, an opportunity for anyone who would like to ask a question or to seek clarity on anything that Arthur has mentioned today. Okay, that's great, Arthur. You'll be pleased to know there's nobody waving their hands at me. So we move now to Neville's report, which is a treasurer's report. Before you present that, I think we need to hand out his little summary. And then there will be copies of the report available in the porches on the way out for you to take home.
Moderator, ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure to present my financial report for 2018. I hope you've all got sight of the financial information given out, and my plan is to highlight the most relevant points to you now. I do apologise for the small print, but it makes more sense and flows better if all the information is kept to the one page. Firstly, then, is our general account, with 2017 comparative figures on the extreme left and extreme right. So starting with income then, and just below the opening balances on the left, we will look at our main source of what we call our usable unrestricted income, that is our free will offering envelopes. 2018 showed a decrease in giving of £4,231 compared to 2017, which obviously is going in the wrong direction when expenses are generally increasing. But that's the way it is. Last April, I did encourage members to sacrifice a little free will offering for United Appeal contributions, but at the end of the year, there was only a small increase in our United Appeal envelope collection of £769. Regarding United Appeal, we did fall a little short in reaching our target of £10,154 set by PCA. Therefore, we had to subsidise the shortfall from our free will offering collection, totalling £1,537. First Stoma's target for 2019 has increased again to £10,463. So I would encourage those who maybe don't contribute regularly or even at all to think about donating to the United Appeal collection this year. Further down then on income, and looking at the money received for others. Outreach, World Development Appeal and Moderator's Appeal are very similar to last year, but our other envelope mission collections are struggling quite significantly. Compared to 2017, our PW mission collection was down 49%. Mission Africa was down by 46%, and the Leprosy Mission was down by 44%. We hope to highlight these collections by using our soapbox slot and announcement sheets this year to see if we can bring them back up again a little. The other amounts are as detailed on the accounts and are generally lower than previous collections as well. Mbangwini activity was quiet in 2018, but obviously 2019 will see a big change on that. Moving to other income then, things are generally on a par with 2017, and thanks are expressed to our own organisations who contributed amounts for the use of premises. For your information, under donations, £2,000 came to church funds for Sunday school and youth work from the late Helen Logan's estate. £700 was also received for general use in memory of the late Eileen Clark, £200 in lieu of flowers, and a donation from the family of £500. Coffee Stop income also increased significantly, mainly due to the excellent Table Quiz fundraiser for the Air Ambulance Northern Ireland, bringing in £832. Under miscellaneous income, donations came in for use of premises from OMA Gospel Hall, OMA Community Youth Choir, Cancer Research, OMA Presbytery Elders Fellowship, and Mervyn Campbell. And there is also a payment received from Cookstown Recyclers for used clothing. Any other income then is hopefully self-explanatory. I would like, before we leave income, to touch again on the subject of gift aid and how important it is to us, as it boosts your contributions and benefits both First OMA and the various charities we collect for through our envelope collections. To keep everything right with HMRC, however, I would ask all members to let Brian Wilson or myself know if your personal circumstances have changed concerning your tax affairs, and whether or not we should or could be claiming gift aid on your contributions. On the right then, moving to expenditure, all outgoings are generally self-explanatory, with some items showing a slight increase and others a slight decrease. Without going through it line by line, a few points of note are: all salaries plus ministerial expenses were as agreed for 2018 by the Congregational Committee. Our PCI assembly assessments were down slightly on 2017, but are still fairly hefty at nearly £19,000. Various schemes and religious and charitable objects are as detailed on the reverse of your sheet. I won't go through them line by line, as I think they're all very self-explanatory. You can see at the bottom of expenditure the various closing balances in each of the sub-funds, which are very good. And overall, then, the balance in our general fund account at the 31st of December was £112,094. Okay, then, if you turn over your sheet, we will now look at the maintenance fund account. On the income side, contributions were on a par with 2017, and we're very thankful for that. The catering group thankfully had a quieter year, not providing as many funeral teas. This, however, did see a big drop in their income, but I think we can all agree that is not a bad thing. Our thanks still go to the ladies who willingly give so much time and talent to provide such a valuable service in First OMA. Thanks go also to PW and the craft class for their kind donations to the maintenance fund as well. Other income is from bequest dividends and clothes recycling. On expenditure then, which is moderate, with nothing too major to report during the year: new windows in the kitchen toilet annex, a new outdoor notice board, and the sound desk extension were the major spends under church repairs and maintenance. And the new sound system was the big expense under multimedia equipment. At the 31st of December then, the balance in the maintenance fund account was £154,048, which shows an increase of £7,500 over the 12 months. To sum up then, despite the extra expenditure of employing a new member of staff, financially 2018 was still a good year for First OMA, with healthy balances in our two main accounts at the year end. We thank God for placing Emma with us and for all the fantastic work she is doing. We look forward to year two and all that it will bring for our church family as Emma continues to make more positive connections in our church and our community. Again, as a congregation, we should also be proud that in 2018 we were able to raise another £18,000 for good causes. I do, of course, sincerely thank all our members who have contributed in any way to our finances in 2018. I would, of course, as every treasurer should, also encourage every member to review their givings year on year. Even a very small increase by everyone who could afford it would help in every aspect of our mission and ministry in this place. I have attached information again regarding making contributions to church funds by standing order. It may be something that would be of interest to you, and it may not. Do read it, and if you would like to pursue the matter further, please do speak to me at any time. As Jane said, the annual report is available to members this morning. One per family can be picked up at the front porch or in the back corridor as you leave church today. I do apologise if I've overlooked mentioning any specific points, but hopefully I've given a good overview highlighting what I feel is necessary. On finishing my report, I want to thank Brian Wilson, Flo Harper, Sam Hammond, and Campbell Henderson for sorting out the weekly collections and for all their hard work in the church office. Thank you to all the treasurers of our organisations for the relevant accounts presented to me at the year end in a timely and accurate manner. Thanks go also to Hamill McIlwain Accountants for conducting the audit and completing our accounts for submission to the Northern Ireland Charities Commission. And thank you, Jane, especially for your ongoing and necessary support, advice and encouragement. Moderator, I believe this to be a true record of our church accounts, and I again thank you for the opportunity to present the Treasurer's Report for 2018.
Thank you to Neville for that, and I think on behalf of the congregation I'd like to thank our office bearers, all three of them, Audrey Hodge in her absence, Arthur Rainey and Neville Hagan, for all the work that they do for our congregation throughout the year. We really do appreciate it, and I certainly appreciate your support and your guidance and your direction on occasion, so thank you so much. So anybody have any questions for Neville in relation to the accounts for 2018? Anything you want clarity upon? Any questions you might have? No. Okay, that's great. We move on then to the next item on the agenda, which is the adoption of the reports. You've heard the reports that have been presented to you this afternoon, and so we seek their adoption as the adoption of the reports for our congregation for the year 2018. And as such, we need someone from the congregation to propose and someone to second these reports. Anyone willing to do so? Thank you, Flo Harper. Yes, and... Okay, great. All right, with Urban Anthony. Derek was just pipped at the post there. So Flo Harper and Urban Anthony. And is that agreed? We declare those passed.